the United States of America.
The Star-Spangled Banner recognizes an American win at the Olympics. It's also a favorite in concerts by gospel groups. A favorite of drum and bugle corps. And it's routinely played at the start of every American baseball game.
Play ball!
The Star-Spangled Banner is also associated with Fort McHenry in Baltimore Harbor, since the British bombardment of the fort in 1814 is what prompted Francis Scott Key to write the lyrics. But the national anthem also has an important connection with another fort, this one in the Great Plains state of South Dakota, that played a role in the late 19th century settlement of the American West.
Welcome to the Fort Meade Museum. You guys are standing in the former commanding officer's headquarters.
Fort Meade was built in 1878 to protect settlements in the northern Black Hills, especially the gold mining town of Deadwood. During its early years, the fort was garrisoned by various U.S. Army units, including the 8th Cavalry. In 1892, a new commander was assigned. Fort Meade Museum Director Randy Bender says Colonel Caleb Carlton arrived with a personal mission.
This had been a topic that he and his wife discussed many times. The fact that, you know, all these other countries had their national airs that they would play at official occasions, and America had none. His wife, Sadie, was actually one who suggested the Star-Spangled Banner would be a good one because of the unusual circumstances that it had been written under, the respect that it showed for the flag, and Carlton agreed with her.
So he issued an order requiring that the Star-Spangled Banner be played each evening at the retreat ceremony, when the flag is lowered.
Traditionally, all the soldiers or staff would muster at 1700. They would have the retreat, the end of the day, and that gives the soldiers the opportunity to pay their respects to the colors.
Command Sergeant Major Patrick Kauser serves with the South Dakota Army National Guard. He says the significance of the retreat ceremony, then and now, can't be overstated.
We are directed, if you cannot see the colors, you face and salute the music. Either way, it's the same intent. Just think about all the blood and the honor that goes into that beautiful flag and what it stands for and all the people that shed their blood so we have the freedoms that we do.
It's with that same sense of respect that Colonel Carlton directed the Star-Spangled Banner be the last song played whenever the fort's band performed. The colonel further instructed all persons present to rise and salute, or men to remove their hats if they were civilians. In a letter to the mayor of Baltimore in 1914, Colonel Carlton explained the Star-Spangled Banner's history at Fort Meade and noted that, over time, the South Dakota governor, the Pennsylvania governor, the Secretary of War, and military commanders around the country became aware of what he had begun. Congress didn't make the Star-Spangled Banner the national anthem until 17 years after Carlton's letter, and only then at the urging of renowned bandmaster John Philip Sousa. But Library of Congress music specialist Lawrence Schissel says there's no escaping the fact that the actions of Fort Meade's commander contributed to the song's selection.
And I think they were part of a movement to make the Star-Spangled Banner the piece that, you know, when people hear it, they would stand up, and popularizing this already popular song as the tune that musically meant something special to Americans.
As South Dakota's 196th National Guard Regiment conducts the modern retreat ceremony at Fort Meade, Museum Director Randy Bender is pleased to see the same respect being given to the flag as was shown in 1892. For VOA News, I'm Jim Kent at Fort Meade, South Dakota.